I want to get to Twins baseball, Timberwolves basketball, and some Final Four talk with our next guest, Michael Randball from the Minnesota Star Tribune, joining us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. I know it's been about a month or so, but Randball, how you been?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate your time on this Friday evening. You could be doing a million different things, so I appreciate you hanging out with me for a segment. I want to start with the Minnesota Twins, a slow start for the Twins at 2-5. No one's going to stress or freak out at this particular point. There's a lot of baseball to be played. We're going to be doing this all year long here. But what is your expectations for the Twins? I'm expecting the Twins to win the division. Vegas expects the Twins to win the division. What does Michael Rand expect the Twins to do?
I'm not all that high on them. I wasn't that high on them coming into the season. I think they're just a little overinflated, and I don't like the offense. I'm not overreacting to the start, but I think two things are concerning. One, they're not hitting outside of a couple of, you know, one outburst against a bad White Sox team. And two, like, it's easier to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I think it would be easier to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I was talking to Phil Miller from the Star Tribune about this. I think it was for today's podcast. It was like, you could give them the benefit of the doubt for this slow start right now if we didn't see this exact same thing for 6 weeks at the end of 2024. And that's the concern, right? That it's more of the same now. It's only 7 games, right? It's 4% of the season, whatever it is. It's not a calamity. It's going to be, you know, they've got plenty of time to make up for this. They could be over 500 in a week. We don't know. But the offense just lacks a certain continuity right now. There's nobody in the middle of the lineup that you just say, oh man, I don't want to pitch to that guy. They're missing Royce Lewis. They're missing some other middle of the lineup presence that makes them dangerous.
One of the things, you're 100% correct, Randball, is that when I look at this team, and I'll be in Kansas City at all the games next week, this team, the thing that is frustrating to me about the team, and we've seen this some last year and also the year before, is that they have these stretches where they score runs, but they only score runs in like one or two innings. And so like yesterday, they scored 2 runs immediately to start the game. Then the rest of the game, they go scoreless. Like, they can't have that. Even in Chicago, when they won their first game of the year, they scored like 5 or 6 runs in one inning. And then I know that they tacked on maybe a home run a little bit later, but I just, the scoring in bunches thing doesn't work for me. Let's consistently get some scoring across 9 innings.
And they just haven't been consistent offensively, and they're not getting enough hits. I think they've gotten 5 hits or fewer in 4 of their 7 games. Like, and again, it's early, it's cold. We give them all of the benefit of the doubt for that. Some teams just aren't going to hit it. If they did this in the middle of the season and they went 2-5 in the middle of the season, people would be a little bit annoyed, but they wouldn't be panicking, right? Because it's the beginning of the season where everybody freaks out because it's like, okay, what's going on here? The sky is falling and stuff like this. I'm not trying to do that, but I wasn't as optimistic as most people go into the season because I just didn't feel like they had done enough in the offseason to make me as confident as I wanted to be.
All right, quick Q&A. Who's the best pitcher? Okay. Who's the best pitcher for the Minnesota Twins? Best pitcher.
Best pitcher, just period, or best?
Yeah,
starter?
Just best pitcher. But I mean, I'm talking about the starters.
Like, I went into the season thinking it might be Bailey Ober. And then so I said that to Lavelle on a podcast last week. And then Bailey Ober came up like 8 runs in an inning or whatever it was, 8 runs in 2 2/3 innings. So I didn't feel great about that. I still think it could be him. I think he was trending in that direction. Pablo Lopez was really good the last time out. He is paid to be their ace.
That's the answer.
It should be the answer, but
yeah.
I honestly think Bailey Ober might have had a better year than Pablo Lopez last year. So I don't know.
I think he's going to regress. Unfortunately, now I'm not rooting for regression. I want Bailey Ober to take the next step. I think that the guy that's going to take the next step though is Joe Ryan because I love Joe Ryan. But I think that Bailey pitched so well last year in the real first season that he really got a chance to be in that starting rotation. I just think there's going to be a little bit of regression as opposed to him running it back like that.
Yeah, and there could be. And I think there was a little bit of concern with his velocity at the start of camp and somewhere in the camp and stuff like that. So we got to see more out of him tomorrow, right? He pitches tomorrow. We got to see more out of him tomorrow to make us feel a little bit better. Like, last year he had that awful first start, and then he was lights out the rest of April. So
yeah,
we'll see. They're counting on a lot of grace right now, is what I would say.
Best position player.
That's Correa still, right?
Absolutely, 100%, 100%.
But he looks disinterested to me right now, and he's not hitting at all. So I'm, you know, I'm not worried.
He's been a slow starter for us, though.
He's got a track record of being a great player, and he was clearly their best player last year before he got hurt. So he's their best player, and it's probably not even close still, unless Royce Lewis comes back and starts doing the good Royce Lewis things, not the slumping Royce Lewis things.
Yeah. We're talking to Michael Rand from the Minnesota Star Tribune here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's transition to the Timberwolves. I know that the Timberwolves, a lot of the spotlight goes to Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle, but actually the guy that I believe is playing some of his best basketball this year is Rudy Gobert. Like, Rudy's been a monster here lately.
He's been great.
I got to give him a lot of love, man.
Yeah, he had a great game the other day against Brooklyn. What did he have, like 21 and 19? He had another monster game. I don't think it was
Sunday. It was the Sunday game.
Rebounds, right?
Yep.
25 rebounds in one of those games.
Yep.
Which one was that?
That was Detroit.
I can't remember. It was Detroit. Yep. That was the game where they had a fight game. And then
I was there.
You were there?
Oh, yeah.
I was not there for that. I hope you weren't in the row where everybody was spilling into you.
No, I was in the media section. It was right in front of us. And I was looking at former NHL hockey player Mark Parrish. And I'm like, Mark.
Mark Parrish was there, yeah.
I'm like, Mark, go ahead and get in there, man.
Right. He knows what to do. Like, this is, they don't fight in the stands in the NHL, but he's, you know, a minor skirmish for the NHL. But I mean, that was quite a game, and Gobert was great in that game. He's been great for a lot of stretches. I feel like he's catching passes a little bit better even now, and they're kind of understanding him a little bit better. Like, Ant threw him like a difficult pass of the day. He's caught it and jammed it, and I was like, okay, that's different Gobert than I remember seeing, like, when he first got here, and he's just fumbling passes all over the place. Like, he seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of good health. And, you know, maybe sitting out those however many games it was after the All-Star break helped him, too, to kind of rejuvenate and get himself in the spot he needs to be.
Do you believe that, by looking at the Wolves right now, do you feel like Dante DiVincenzo is actually settled in now? Because you can tell that he's starting to get really acclimated here in the last month or so, because it'll take some time when anybody is adjusting going to a new organization and playing with new teammates.
Well, then he got hurt, right? Like, I think the most impressive thing to me was how he and Randle and Gobert, when they got back from injury, it was like they didn't miss a beat, especially DiVincenzo and Randle, who had more kind of, you know, Gobert was back spasms, not to downplay that, but that's like something he's had to manage his whole career. But those guys like had, you know, they had big time injuries, and to come back from those and to feel like they hadn't missed a beat, like their first game back, they were both really good. The Wolves, like 1 through 8, when everybody's healthy, like they've got one of the best 1 through 8s in the league, one of the best 1 through 8s in the West for sure. Like they're going to be a tough out. I don't know who they're going to wind up playing in the playoffs. I don't know what seed they're going to wind up getting. A lot of things in play right now. It's kind of like it used to be like, hey, which of these three teams is going to get the 6? Now I feel like it's like six teams battling for 4 spots, because Denver is in play now because they've been slumping. The Lakers are in play. They just lost last night to Golden State. Like,
and they play tonight.
Play now.
Yeah, and they have a back-to-back. They'll beat New Orleans, though. New Orleans isn't any good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're no good. But, you know, some teams have tougher games. You've got, you know, the last game of the year. We got to remember, too, that Golden State plays the Clippers. So, I don't know. The Wolves can certainly lose to anybody, but they are very much in play right now to go 4-1 in their last 5. You got the 3 games they got to win over, what's the next one? Philadelphia, that's tomorrow. And then they got the last 2 against Brooklyn and Utah. And between there, they got Milwaukee and Memphis. Those are 2 tough ones. Those are both road games. Split those 2, win the other 3. I think they'll be at least the 6, if not the 5, if not the 4.
Hey, speaking of Memphis real quick, I wasn't going to get into it, but since you brought up Memphis, something's wrong with Ja Morant. I'm over people making excuses. He has had incidents with regards to guns. He understands the dynamics of it being bad optics. Stop making stupid hand gestures.
Well, and they warned him, like 2 or 3 days ago, like, don't do that. I think it was after the Golden State game. Then he did it again last night. Like, it's just like he doesn't care. And I don't think you can, like, you can't suspend him for
that. Why not?
That's not suspension worthy.
Why not?
You can fine him, but you're not going to suspend a guy for making a gesture.
You hurt athletes more is when you say you're going to sit for a game. They react to that. They react to that better than fining. For him, $75,000 is like $10 to me.
That's true. That might be a little egregious, but that would be huge if, you know, if you're speaking with your Wolves glasses on, that would be huge because the Wolves have to play them. That's a team that is definitely catchable for them right now. Would have helped if they lost to Miami last night. He actually made the game winner. But, yeah, I don't know. He's made, you know, tread the line a little bit more more lightly if you've been suspended for 25 games already once.
He doesn't get it. Yeah, he doesn't get it. All right, the final thing I want to touch on is women's Final Four this weekend. It's it's actually there at halftime in the South Carolina-Texas game. South Carolina leads by 6 now, 41-35.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts on just the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four, because I am somebody that looks at the women, and there's two outcomes that I would love. Either South Carolina winning back-to-back, or my preference would be Paige Becker's going out a winner.
Yeah. I prefer that one. I think she's done such a great job just handling the spotlight, being tremendous. She's had a great tournament. She's had a great season. You know, she kind of like, you know, when she came into college, like she was kind of what Caitlin Clark became, right? Like she was the chosen one. And then she kind of like, she got injured. Caitlin Clark came on, kind of became this icon, this bigger than life figure. And then, you know, Clark's obviously in the WNBA now, and it's more Paige Becker's season now. And then, you know, it's Juju Watkins, but then Juju gets hurt. Like, it's really her time in the spotlight right now. So I would love to see her get that. On the men's side, it's four number one seeds. Like, is this the future of college basketball? Is this what the portal and then revenue sharing is going to be? Is all the best teams taking all the best players?
This is an outlier. This is an outlier.
I don't know.
Now, it's people. It's not. I don't think it's anything that people should be upset about with regards to NIL and all that. This is only the second time. The first time was 2008 was the last time that all number one seeds made it to the Final Four. So no, this is an outlier to me.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be all the ones every year, but I think it is going to get harder for the mid majors because you're not going to get two or three good years for a mid major anymore. You're going to get 1 year. And a lot of those guys are going to go to the high major programs now.
Yeah, the portal. Yeah.
The portal. So, I don't know.
No, I'm with you, man. It's frustrating.
Anybody but Duke. Always anybody but Duke. That's what I'm recording this final.
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. How about how about the Gophers into the fray with Nico Medved? I would enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, get them in there. They need to get in the tournament. I think they can be good right away. In this era, you should be good right away. I'm not like saying it's a failure if they don't get the NCAA tournament next year, but I think that's a reasonable expectation when you say you're going to commit to a program when you can turn around a program in 1 year in the portal.
And by the way, some people may view this as controversial, but this is my take. In terms of basketball skill, Paige Beckers is a more skilled basketball player than Caitlin Clark.
It's close. She's maybe a more well-rounded player. Clark is
no question.
They're both great.
They're both great. And when I say that, I'm talking about, I think that you can make the argument that Paige Beckers is the most skilled in terms of all-around talent across the board than any college basketball player that's come out in maybe the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, she might be. And it would have been fun to see, like, this year's Paige Beckers against last year's Caitlin Clark. I don't feel like their best collided enough in the biggest stage.
And I would have loved to have seen Paige get a chance to knock down that shot last year when they called that screen.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But it was also probably a good call. Like, everybody was screaming about it in real time. But when you watch it, you're like, man, she got clobbered. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Hey, Ramball, man, always a pleasure. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, take care, Henry. Take care.
All right, that's Michael Ranball from the Minnesota Star Tribune joining us here on the Lake Show. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get to Bite of the Night next. I'm trying to adjust this mic. The microphone's falling all over my face. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I can't.
You got to hold it. It's a little limp. It's just
going Oh, anyway. It's time for Bite of the Night. All right, so...
If that wasn't the Bite of the Night...
We got a couple of Bites of the Night. The first is about Dak Prescott, okay? The Dallas Cowboys have made a trade. They get Joe Milton. They traded for him. He was the kid that was at Tennessee quarterback. He was in the draft last year, went to the Patriots, was a backup, mm-hmm. and so now they traded for Milton.
He's a preseason superstar.
And I think he played in their final regular season game, and I think they might have won that game. But anyway, so he'll be the backup to Dak. And LeSean McCoy, who is on FS1, feels like Dak should find a realtor.
I'll just be honest, man. Listen, if Dak Prescott has a postseason like he's always had, going to that next year, right? Dak, find a realtor. Because Joe Milton got talent, he can play. And I'll say this, y'all laughing all that. I've seen other quarterbacks get paid a lot of money and they move on from it. Right?
We've seen it happen.
Okay. We've seen it happen.
Right. Oh. And that's breaking news for the Dallas Cowboys.
Let me say this. And I'm not here to disrespect Milton because we haven't seen enough of Milton to know anything. But LeSean McCoy has some of the worst takes in sports. Some of the worst. Some of the worst takes in all of sports resides on FS1. It's both LeSean McCoy and Jason McIntyre.
Okay.
They have the two worst takes in sports, both of them. You agree?
Are they worse than Josh?
Josh Wheeler?
Yeah.
Well, Josh Wheeler's got the worst takes on WCCO.
Okay. I thought you were going to say
takes are better than Jason McIntyre's.
Wow. Are they better than Nick Wright?
What? Nick Wright's good.
Nick
has got some strong opinions.
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything he says, but no, I'm not going to sit here and think. I would not say that Nick Wright is a hot take guy.
Okay. I know, maybe I've got some bad mojo from when he was in Houston. So, admittedly,
y'all got bad blood.
No, we don't have bad blood. I just think that some of the things were a little goofy. They were a little goofy, but
goofy.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Joe Mixon gonna usurp Dak Prescott or Joe Milton? Sorry, Joe Milton, not Joe Mixon.
He better find a realtor.
Like, yeah, I mean. Dak's fine, but this is just this, like, I don't know why it's just kind of you traded like a seventh round pick for Joe Milton, and all of a sudden he's the guy that's going to take over Dak's.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's quite the hot take.
Dak's going to be fine.
Yeah. The other one is a highlight from Keith Hernandez, and this was kind of would you say that this is kind of a hot mic situation?
Who doesn't like a hot mic moment? I love a hot mic.
Everybody loves a hot mic. Well, unless you're the person that's operating with the hot mic.
Yeah, unless you're Tom Brenneman.
He got a new job.
Did he?
Yeah, he's like hosting a radio show in Cincinnati now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it on a conservative station?
No. It's the sports. It's the sports talk.
Oh, okay. I figured with his talk about Kansas City, that's where he would.
I don't know.
That's where he'd lie. I kid.
Well, let's get to Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez had some interesting hitting takes that it might have been a hot mic situation.
Piss poor hitting.
New York Mets baseball on SNY is brought to you by Infinity. Experience the Infinity lineup at your local retailer today.
So he was talking about the Phillies, right?
The Marlins.
Oh, the Marlins.
Yeah.
In terms of them not being very good at hitting. And then immediately, his colleague, the play-by-play guy, has to do the live read.
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, it's like Keith Hernandez is a personality unto himself. And, I mean, he and Gary Cohen have been a team for a long time on SNY. They carry the Mets. And for him to talk about the Marlins, because the Marlins had a situation in their top of the inning where they basically are the Twins of the National League East with their inability to, shall we say, execute with the Ducks on the pond. And he was not happy with it. And people in New York are like, well, what are you talking about the Mets? He's like, no, I'm talking about the Marlins and their inability to execute. And yeah, Gary Cohen, I mean, you know that there's a producer that is in your ear that says, hey, you're hot or you're coming back, counting down, something.
Yeah, sometimes that producer will mess up.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm staring at you. Yeah. Producers make mistakes too. Whether it's a Chris Tubbs or Josh Wheeler or whoever. Yeah, sometimes y'all mess up with
man,
the...
Man, you're putting...
I'm throwing... It doesn't matter. David Josephson, it could be...
Dave Harrigan, Dan Cook, Jimmy?
It could be anybody, any producer. I'm not saying just you.
I didn't want to be throwing... Because all of a sudden it's like you're singling me and Josh out, and I'm like, I felt like I was being personally attacked. Felt like I was being labeled.
Oh, my God.
I was being labeled.
Not really.
not really. But it was just kind of funny how, I mean, what is Gary Cohen supposed to say? This poor hitting. What's he supposed to say?
Just do the read, dude.
You just do the read. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was some sort of like a rib where he was trying to get Cohen to break before doing the live. But I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny how Keith Hernandez got caught on it. And then immediately you had to go with the read going into the inning.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then after that, detaining college students with no evidence that they are criminals is wrong. Full stop. We'll get to that next. I think one of the headlines that has been really disappointing to see, we can sit here and we can talk about deporting people that are, quote, illegal immigrants. But the really scary thing that, because that's not the topic that I'm talking about right now. The topic that I'm talking about right now is about international students at schools in Minnesota, at universities here, that have been detained and their student visas terminated. What good and how do we in Minnesota and in this country, how do we benefit from this practice? And when we sit there and we detain them and say that their visas are terminated, and then you say, you got to get out in the next 60 days, go back to 60 days? 60 days is not enough time for a lot of people to do a lot of different things in life. A lot of people can't find a new job in 60 days. And we're not talking about MS-13 gang members. We're talking about college students on a college campus furthering their education. We're talking about people who typically give and bring things to our country in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
What good are we getting out of this particular situation? This is not something that we should be doing, in my opinion.
No. This is a...
There's probably some people out there that disagree with me, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. There is this perception that all immigrants are bad. If you're
Which
here...
Which is insane to me.
If you're here... Go back to where you came from.
That's like saying that all white people are racist,
uh-huh,
or that all black people are thugs, or however you want to, you know, whatever type
it's an
of,
awful stereotype.
Whatever type of narrative that you want to promote about whatever certain group of people, it's unacceptable. It's awful, dude.
Yeah, you don't want nobody. Nobody should have to live in fear over ICE just deciding that they are going to detain you based on how you look, based on what you're
wearing.
And
because you got a tattoo.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all about the superficial, what do you look like? I'm going to judge you.
You fit the profile.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody nowadays is being profiled. unless you are a straight white man. But how can we even tell if you're straight? How can we tell if you're gay? How can we tell if you're here legally? How can we tell if you're a criminal? I can't look at somebody and make those assumptions.
The text line, there is a reason. It's not random. If they are promoting terrorism and anti-Semitic hate, the visas can be taken away. It would happen in any other country if you're not a citizen of that country. They don't have the same rights as American citizens. That is false. That is a lie. That is false, and that is a lie. You are being told lies. I don't know what channel you're watching. There are people that are being detained that have not done what you are saying they have done. And cite me that case with the people here in Minnesota. Cite me that. You can gladly send me the link on the text line, but that is not the case for all five people that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
That's just false.
Yeah. There are individuals that are promoting anti-Semitic hate, but they're not immigrants, right? They're not here on that visa. When we're talking about these students at the U of M or down in Mankato, these are individuals that were profiled and they were detained for no reason other than they fit this profile for what they were looking for. If you are out there and you are promoting terrorism and anti-Semitic hate, you should be held accountable for it. But that goes for any race, right? That goes for no matter what your skin color is. No matter who you are. But there are some people that are going to be able to get away with that because of who their skin color, what their skin color is, and who their individual is that they... This is where it gets political, and I don't want it to get political, but you can't look at this and say, because of this overwhelming, it is just a broad brush of, you know what, we're going to grab all of these people. I mean, there was the man who was deported to El Salvador, that the father out of Maryland that was deported. And I've got from, it's absolutely insane to me that you can have individuals deported and detained, and if they haven't done anything wrong, it's, well, you know what, it isn't it, okay. We made a mistake, but you know what, that's not our problem, because if we have to take out some of the good with the bad, then that's just what we have to do, because we're leaving a lot of bad in this country that are not immigrants, that are out there causing problems, that are not being profiled. And it's absolutely, for these people to live in this fear, it's scary.
What's happening right now in the country is beyond scary. People want to accept things just because they feel obligated to accept what is being promoted by maybe somebody that they voted for. Like the same goes with this whole tariff thing. Nobody in their heart of hearts is for any of this. But because some people say that I have to align with the person that I voted for, yes, this is good. For politicians to stand there to their constituents and say, oh, this will all be fine. Or yes, they'll look at the stock market today and say, oh, yes, this is going to be good for us. Like, what?
No, it's not. The people losing money is not good. Tell those people that it's good that you're losing money in your retirement, in your 401k. Like this, we were told that this is exactly what's going to happen. This is what was going to happen. But yet, because you're believing what you're being told, not what you're seeing. And it is just mind-boggling to me to be at this point. Because again, I said it, if we are going to call it Bidenomics, well, then let's call this a Trump session, because that is the reason we are where we are at with these inconsistent tariffs, which, by the way, the tariffs are, it's baked in to the trade deficit. Like it's baked in. So we're just adding these unnecessary taxes because Donald Trump wants to be the guy that controls the world. And it's a power play. You know, going in and grabbing these students, it's a power play that, you know, ICE is going out and doing based on what they're being told. The tariffs, I mean, nobody has believed in these tariffs except for Donald Trump. He is obsessed with these. He is absolutely obsessed with tariffs. And I think we need to realize that just because one person says it, if you look at the economists, look at the majority of individuals out there that say this is bad. JP Morgan says we are in a 60% chance for a global recession. How is a recession good? Because I'm not an economist, but when you're told going into a recession, that is not a good thing. Like having people worried and the instability worldwide, it is scary. And we are being plunged into this because of the inconsistency with the tariffs.
I guess that I would say to this person that there's a texter that says, Henry, I agree with the tariffs, so I just debunked your statement that nobody believes this stuff. Okay, you're one of the few. It says you. They also follow with you're wrong. A lot of people believe in these tariffs. If that is indeed what you believe, why has this not been a thing for the most part in our nation's history?
Every president would have done it.
Hold on. Because the two other presidents that have done this, we went into a recession. So why is this not popular? To the texter from the 612. And you can gladly call in if you'd like to. 651-461-92. Well, we got headlines coming up. Maybe they can call in before the end of the show. If this is such a thing, why are economists talking about we're about to go into recession? Why is the stock market all over the place and it's down tremendously? Why is everybody freaking out? And why don't more presidents do it? And why did the two previous presidents, why do we end up in a recession? Your thoughts on that via the text, if you'd like. We got headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show. All right, let's dive into headlines before the top of the hour break. Why are you laughing at me?
No, I'm just, you're rubbing your hands together like I got something good to talk about.
Oh, I hope you got something good to talk about.
Well, if you're one of those people that is going to have disposable income, when everything gets going, head down to Jackpot Junction, okay? But don't do that yet because the Tribal Casino slot machines, phone lines, and other services remain shut down as of today after a reported cyber attack last week.
What?
Yes, a notice at Jackpot Junction Casino and Hotel's website states that the slot machines and kiosks remain unavailable, with bingo also canceled, and its Dakota Dining restaurant closed until further notice. However, Jackpot says table games and circle bar are open. The systems have remained offline ever since the casino is working with a third-party expert to address the issue. Now, the casino first reported issues with its phone lines being down on March 27th that followed with further disruptions to the slot machines, bingo, continuity programs, promotional drawings in one of its restaurants. The Lower Sioux Government Center said on March 28th that its phone lines were also down. Hotel room booking isn't available via the casino's website. Now, Paul Bischoff, a consumer privacy advocate at Comparitech.
Wait, you can't book hotels online?
You can't do it. You have to do everything in person.
Are you kidding me?
No. And now, granted, this is down at Redwood Falls, my hometown. But I wanted to say this because I think this just shows that a ransom hub cyber attack, if you do not take it seriously and you are not prepared, it can take down a casino, hotel, and more for almost a week. And I talked to my cousin who works there, and she said that everything right now, they are basically handcuffed. So
that sucks, dude.
I'm just saying, like, Treasure Island, Mystic, you know, Grand Casino, there may be some others that if you're a big company, you are not immune to being attacked.
Yeah, so, that sucks, dude. You cannot make a hotel reservation online. Like, nobody nowadays, unless you're just randomly traveling and you haven't booked ahead of time, walks into a hotel and says, can I get a room?
She told me this morning when I was talking to her that people who book a hotel room, they have to take them upstairs physically to the room and get everything set up. And then, you know, maybe you can get an extra key and a video camera and then, you know, do your thing.
Oh,
But no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, hey, with his announcement of widespread new tariffs on Wednesday, President Trump spared very few places in the world from his effort to upend global trade.
What about Russia?
No, Russia did not make a list.
Oh, Russia didn't. Russia's not on the list?
No tariffs for Russia.
Why?
It's got to be an oversight. It's got to be an oversight, but no tariffs on Russia.
Shocker.
I know. But he did put a tariff on Heard Island and McDonald Island. McDonald Island, the subarctic Australian territory inhabited by penguins, but no people. The islands were listed among the nations and territories hit by the Trump administration's universal 10% tariff. And the Australian government, the Antarctic Division, said, quote, the islands are unoccupied by humans and remain one of the least anthropogenically distributed areas, which means no humans, just penguins. So they say that human activities in the region have been and remain limited. Terrestrial and marine research undertaken as part of the Australian Antarctic Science Program is currently the main human use. They said that since the first landing on Heard Island in 1855, there have only been approximately 240 shore-based visits to the island, two landings on McDonald Island in 1971 and 1980.
That's interesting.
So penguins are going to get tariffed. Okay, so if you've got any fish or you got pebbles or anything, no tariffs for Putin, but if you're a penguin, beware. Beware. I mean, what's next? Hogwarts? Narnia?
Man.
Like, where are we getting these next?
Everybody's getting tariff. You get a tariff. You get a tariff. You get a tariff. Russia? No tariff.
You're good. I mean... Well, you got to have, like, what are those? Like, the Fabergé eggs that have, like, one in front of another or in front of another. Or, you know, like, the pictures with the bears on, like, the unicycles. I mean, who can't have those? I mean, we got to have those, right? Or vodka. I mean, we got to have a Russian vodka. So I definitely understand that, you know what? Good for...
Sure? Russian vodka?
Good for... I mean...
Is that your favorite vodka?
Smirnoff, yes. Yes! I mean... You got to be fair to Putin. I mean, you know, what can I say? And one guy that you can't be fair to is Russell Brand. He's a piece of garbage because he has been charged with rape and sexual assault following an 18-month investigation sparked when four women alleged they've been assaulted by the controversial comedian.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. What?
No, I say innocent until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty. I mean, hey, if we're going to profile people... Russell Brand just looks like a creep.
Well, and I'm not joking with this. There's been speculation and talk about him having some issues for a while.
Yeah,
so this doesn't surprise me. But I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not saying he's innocent. But we'll see how. This
well, I mean, out. Yeah, these incidents, they took place over like a 5-year span, and I mean they've been investigating him for about a year and a half now. So
yeah,
but I want to profile Russell Brand, and I'm going to say he's a creep.
Coming up next. What is the timetable to start calling top draft picks in sports a bust? We get to that next.